Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hamlin, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino, company from the Radio Bunker, joining us on the horn. Right now, spent a couple of decades covering the Detroit Tigers minor league system. Spent some time covering the association with the Cleveland Cavaliers and, of course, Mid-American Conference Hoops as well. Our good buddy John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. John, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you today, partner?
Anthony, I am a little slice of heaven. How are you this morning?
Oh, best day of my life, John. Best day of my life. I'm just trying to stay positive. That's what it comes down to. I'm trying.
You fake it until you make it.
That's right. That's right. We're just all going to be positive, and we're the fun and smiles director. Oh, by the way, I want to let you know, I'm going to work a minor league baseball game this week. I got corralled. I got lassoed into the first action. At fifth, third field between the Mud Hens and the Cubs affiliate, whoever they are. I don't even know what their name is.
Iowa Cubs.
Yeah, Iowa Cubs. Some Cubs. Some Cubs are going to show up. Don't know anything about them. We got to have a Zoom meeting beforehand. You know how I feel about Zoom meetings. But we're going to do one of those the day before that's allegedly going to last an hour. I'm going to hit that thing on mute, turn that camera off. I'll be snoozing over here during that. But, yeah, I've been corralled back into minor league baseball. Can you believe it?
Well, good for you. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Minnesota, I've been corralled into watching state high school hockey, which is, as you may or may not have heard, a gigantic deal here. While our attention was given towards the NCAA basketball, because young Mr. Suggs, who hit the game-winning basket, is from Minnehaha Academy in greater Minneapolis. Minnehaha Academy.
That sounds like something from Minnesota. You covered Suggs when he was in high school, correct?
And you know what? Yes, I did. I actually watched or covered for the local. It's too hard to explain. I covered for an entity the playoff game that his high school team played. And here's a tip for your listeners: write this one down, and remember when this guy makes it. It was Wagner who told you first. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Suggs is a great player. Last year, he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota. He was also Mr. Football for the state of Minnesota. Great athlete. And I would argue he was the second best player on his high school basketball team. In a year, very soon, you guys are all going to be witness to a guy by the name of Holmgren.
Oh, he's going to wear Michigan Holmgren. Maize and blue, John. He's going to wear Michigan Maize and blue.
We shall see. I'm telling you, Anthony, he is unbelievable. He's 7 foot tall. He can handle the ball like a point guard. He shoots threes with very high accuracy. And you'll love this. He's 7 foot. He maybe weighs 200 pounds on a heavy day.
Soaking wet.
You know, but soaking wet, having just eaten Thanksgiving dinner, and he's a great, great shot blocker. Great shot blocker. State record holder, just ridiculous presence. You want to know what his nickname is? 7 foot, 200 pounds?
Gumby?
The Slim Reaper. The Slim Reaper.
Yep.
I love it.
That's the nickname they tried to give Kevin Durant, but then he didn't like it because they were calling him Slim, and he got all in his feelings about it. I'm like, dude, that's an awesome. They made shirts of the Grim Reaper with his face on it, like under the hood. It was awesome. Like, why wouldn't you run with that? For our listeners who have been listening to me talk about, you know, where the Pistons might fall in the lottery pick, you've heard me talk a lot about USC's Evan Mobley. I would say that Chet Holmgren is probably very comparable to what Evan Mobley is at USC. So if you've watched him at all at the college level, that's the type of game Chet Holmgren has. He's a do-it-all. Put it on the floor, shoot it from anywhere. Great size, great length, just real thin, like thin enough to where, you know, you should be eating steak six times a day.
Yeah, don't turn sideways. We may miss him. He also has a great YouTube video where he actually schools Stephen Curry. Goes behind his back. I mean, just lingerie everywhere. And then finishes it off with a dunk. Trust me, Jalen Suggs is really, really good. And you don't need me to tell you that. But I'm telling you, his high school teammate, Chet Holmgren, even better.
Wow, it's exciting. Chet Holmgren definitely, you know, the Maize and Blue have had their eyes on him, as has every college program, because seven-footers, they don't grow off of trees.
Yes, the elite are going after him. In fact, one of the reasons that Richard Pitino was fired at Minnesota is too many of these Minnesota kids, really elite players, are leaving. Not just Suggs, and probably not just Holmgren, who's Holmgren's dad went to Minnesota, so they technically are still quote unquote in it, but I wouldn't like their chances. But the inability to keep a lot of really elite Minnesota talent in town is what one of the major factors that did Richard Pitino in.
Gopher Athletics, you know, and if I'm Chet Holmgren, I mean, what's the team in the best climate that's halfway decent? And right now it's like, okay, well, UCLA is kind of nice. USC's got some good things going. Maybe go down, resurrect the U. That'd be fun. Florida State, they've got some good teams that always seem to get knocked out in Sweet 16. So, hey, let's have a little fun with this now, shall we? The Detroit Tigers, let's shift gears into baseball, because opening day was last week, and this past weekend, the Tigers won their first series of the year, might be their only series. Win. They took out the Cleveland Indians 2-1, and it was I thought it was pretty special. And I wanted to ask you, you know, for Akil Badu, a guy who is a Rule 5 pick, for him to be able to hit a home run, cash in on that first pitch, the first career pitch he saw at the major league level, he didn't take it, John. He swung a tennis racket at that thing in just a frozen rope to left field. It was a thing of beauty. His parents' jubilation in the crowd as his family was there to celebrate. I just thought it was an awesome moment that was captured, you know, by the camera crews, by television. Look at this young man. Look at what he just did. Look at his family, look at him celebrate and point to his parents afterwards. Just an incredible moment for that young man.
No doubt. And the kid obviously has some skill. You know, there's some athletic ability. I really like what the Tigers have done a couple of times here, cashing in on talent in a situation where they're down right now and they don't need these guys to be instantly productive or have a role on a championship team, and so you can kind of give them a chance, you know, take them under advisement, keep them in the program, and I'm thinking Victor Reyes here, and then after that year when he becomes your property, then you start the up and down and, you know, have him figure it out in AAA, AA if it's necessary, but, I mean, with his skills, I would think he survives this year. You send him to AAA to play every day and make up for that lost developmental time. And, you know, you may have yourself another ball player. I like it a lot. And please don't tell me that, well, he's in the majors and he's got the best guys working with him, best coaches available. Yeah, but the way players develop is by play. Unless the Tigers really go south. And judging by all the preseason predictions, that's very possible they will. But unless they go just dead south and say, you know what, turn it over, give it to the kids, here we go. You know, the only way he's going to get better, especially for the long term, is by playing every day. That's just, there's no other way around it. In baseball, you got to play.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Tigers, they didn't play yesterday at all. I mean, it was 15-1. In the top of the eighth inning. It was a disastrous outing. The Twinkies put 5 runs on in the second, 5 in the fifth. I mean, my goodness, you hate to see it. It looked like a basketball game broke out. Urania got the start for the Tigers. He lasted all but 9 outs in this game. Gave up 4 hits, 6 runs, 5 of which were earned. He walked 4, struck out 5. The box score, it looks like he threw up on it. Buck Farmer came in. He gave up 3 earned runs in an inning and 2/3. Holland came in. He went an inning and a third. He gave up 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks. I mean, good gracious. You look at this. You look at the numbers across this thing. Like, holy mackerel. Look like a lotto ticket.
What you're thinking then is the Tigers after yesterday's game, they should just blow it up and start over, right?
No. Bad day at the office. I was really intrigued by Matt Boyd in his first outing for the Tigers. I thought that was great. I think this is just a really, really bad day at the office from the Tigers. You never could really get it going. Nelson Cruz, he was going crazy. He was, what, 3 for 5 with 5 RBI at one point in the game. Like, it was just ridiculous what the Twins did to the Tigers. But I guess what I would ask you, because the first two games against Cleveland, the best record in baseball, we're going 162-0, no one could stop us, right? Cleveland wins game 3, tough to get a sweep, but you win the series, so you're still feeling good about things. And then that game yesterday against Minnesota, I think, brings Tigers back to reality, the Tigers fans, that is, who are thinking, hey, maybe this year will be better than we thought. The Vegas number for over-under total wins this season was 68.5, meaning they're going to probably lose somewhere in the range of 100-plus games this year, basically, roughly, give or take. I said the under. A lot of fans seem to think the over. They thought that this team could win 70-plus. What do you think? When you see a number like 68.5, you think this Tigers team can pull that off?
If you're asking me where I'd put my money, I'm with you. I'd go for the under. A couple of things going on there. First, the Tigers are not building to try and win as many games as possible. So if they fall out of contention, you could see trades that'll weaken the team. They'll bring up young guys and let them play. And that's all conducive to losing in the short term. You're hoping that you make these players better long term, and so you can win down the road. But if they throw away the season, that 68 is going to be a mountain that would be impossible to climb. Here's another problem that the Tigers face. Twins, pretty good team. White Sox, pretty good team. The Indians have very good pitching, although it was spotty in this first weekend of the season, obviously. I'm going to tell you, Kansas City is a good team. Kansas City is a good team. Their young pitching, while it's probably a step back from Detroit's pitching, young pitchers, I mean, it's a small step back. They have some talented arms, too. If you haven't had your fantasy draft yet, go crazy trying to get Brady Singer. If you've seen him pitch, you understand why. Young arm, really, really good stuff. And they went out and filled holes offensively. They brought in some bodies who can hit. So Kansas City is not going to be a terrible team. When you play those teams so many times during the season, there's no rest, there's no relief, there's no, well, who's the team we can pound on? There really isn't a team like that in the Central this year, right? It's going to be a tough road for the Tigers this year. I'm not telling you there's no chance they'll get to 68. I'm not saying it's zero chance, but I don't like their chance.
He is John Wagner, spent 2 decades covering the Detroit Tigers minor league system at the Toledo Blade. Now joins us on Tuesday mornings to talk baseball and all kinds of things here on the Meyer Supercenter guest line. And John, away from this Tigers team, something happened because I think you know where I'm at when I see things like this. And I don't know if you saw this highlight or low light, depending on what side of the fence you're looking at it from. But the Cincinnati Reds, Nick Castellanos, yes, the former Tiger, he was suspended 2 games after a benches clearing incident against the Cardinals. What had happened was Nick Castellanos he's running, going crazy, right? He was hit by a pitch, had some words with Yadier Molina, and then he stood over the pitcher, Jake Woodruff, who was at the plate and scored a run on a wild pitch. He got up, he flexed on him a little bit. Molina took exception to that, and they call it a brawl. It's not a brawl. That guy could have punched me in the face. I'd still ask him for a signed jersey, Castellanos said of Molina. I've got nothing but respect for him. MLB announced that Castellanos had been suspended 2 games and fined an undisclosed amount for his aggressive actions over the weekend. What do you make of the fact that we don't suspend anybody for cheating, but we will suspend somebody for giving, like, the Hollywood Hulk Hogan, like, oh yeah, brother, over somebody at home plate? Like, come on.
Yeah, calling that a fight insults even, you know, schoolyard fights everywhere. I mean, that was horrific. Yeah, I've gotten really tired of noses getting bent out of shape for no apparent reason. I don't know if I call it an overreaction. You want to defend your team and your teammates. So, you know, the suspension is a massive reach, in my opinion. A massive overreaction to that. Not that I want to see fighting in baseball, but, I mean, frankly, how many really good fights do we see in baseball? And we so protect these guys, you know, for, you know, whether it's wearing basically armor on your arms and legs during at-bats, or, you know, we don't allow retaliation in any way, or retribution, if you want to call it that, so that guys don't get thrown at normally. I am not a fan of it. I always go back, and I know older fans will remember the name Frank Robinson, the Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame manager, and there was always a rule when teams played Frank Robinson's team, you don't knock Frank Robinson down. You don't knock him down, because the moment you do that, he just gets up, dusts himself off, and proceeds to kill you and just, you know, try and do everything he can to win every game possible. And the fine always was, if you knock Frank Robinson down, he's going to wake up and kill our team. Let sleeping dogs lie. That was always the rule about Frank Robinson. And could you imagine in today's game? I mean, we would, oh, nice, Frank. Nice, you know, we'd be treating him like a lap dog and petting him. And
oh, we're so soft. You know, we're softer than a roll of Charmin. I mean, the fact that the report was from CBS Sports, here's the video of Saturday's brawl. Like, the last good punch I saw was, it was Rougned Odor against, who was it? Joey Bats, maybe, where he just, I mean, Jose Bautista. And you could tell that that wasn't Odor's first punch thrown, the way that he planted himself and delivered that strike. Like, that guy had been in a fight before, and I loved every second of that. This was a bunch of hold me back. Like, the guy hit you with a pitch, you end up scoring on a wild pitch, you flex on him, they suspend him for two games. MLB overreacting. If I'm Castellanos, I'm trying to file something against the league, get my game checks back. You could sit me down for a couple days. I'll rest, put my feet up in the clubhouse, eat some peanuts or whatever. But outside of that, like, give me my game checks, because that is ridiculous. Hey,
if I'm his red teammates, I put the pot in the middle of the clubhouse and take up a pot to pay the fines for him.
Amen.
It's silliness, but you know that. I don't misunderstand me. I don't want us to go back to those days where we have real fights and just mayhem and blood all over. I don't want to see that either. But you know, many baseball fights are massive overreactions. You know, if your batter gets hit and I'm the first batter for my team, if back in the day, I expected to get hit. You know, hit me with a fastball on the hip. If you're nice, hit me with a breaking ball on the hip. I'll go to first and shut up. We're even. Let's move on. But, you know, baseball is not allowing that stuff to continue, and not allowing the players to police it. And in some ways, that makes it worse. One last thought about this. You got to remember, the Reds and the Cardinals have some history going back to Molina and Brandon Phillips. So there's also a little history. When those two teams play, everybody's on high alert. That may have played a role in this as well.
He is John Wagner. Find him on Twitter at John Wagner Sport. John, my friend, as always, thank you so much for your time today, my friend. We greatly appreciate you.
Anthony, I hope you and your listeners have a great week.